Pope Benedict XVI has called on Catholic and other aid agencies to spare no effort in securing necessary food and medical supplies to the scores of thousands of civilians who have fled Sri Lanka's northern war zone. The Pope's appeal came on Sunday as the Tamil Tiger rebels conceded defeat in their 25-year civil war after launching waves of suicide attacks to repel a final assault by troops determined to annihilate them. Chris Altieri has this report.
President Mahinda Rajapaksa had declared victory over the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam the day before, even as combat raged in the island's northeast, and the military said it was freeing the last of thousands of trapped civilians. By midday Sunday, the military said troops had freed all the civilians being held by the Tigers inside an area that was less than a single square kilometer. A total of 72,000 people had fled the area since Thursday of this past week.
Chiedo inoltre alle istituzioni umanitarie, comprese quelle cattoliche, di non lasciare nulla di intentato per venire incontro alle urgenti necessità alimentari e mediche dei profughi.
Speaking to pilgrims ahead of this Sunday's Regina Caeli address, Pope Benedict XVI called on humanitarian agencies, including Catholic organizations, to leave nothing untried in their efforts to secure refugees' access to life's basic necessities.
Ed elevo le mie preghiere al Signore affinché affretti il giorno della riconciliazione e della pace.
The Holy Father entrusted the whole country of Sri Lanka to the protection of the Virgin Mary and asked God to hasten the arrival of full reconciliation and lasting peace. Pope Benedict also reflected on his recently concluded pilgrimage to the Holy Land, saying he had gone in order to serve the causes of Christian unity, interreligious dialogue with Jews and Muslims, and peace building in the region.
La storia della salvezza comincia con l'elezione di un uomo, Abramo, e di un popolo, Israele.
The Pope said the Holy Land is a symbol of God's love for his people and for the whole of humanity, and also a symbol of freedom and peace as God wills it for every one of his children. He went on to say that history has made the Holy Land the symbol of divisions and never-ending conflict among brothers. The Holy Land, said Pope Benedict, has become a sort of fifth gospel, as some have called it, which, by virtue of its history, can be considered a microcosm that sums up humanity's tiring journey toward the kingdom of justice, love, and peace. I'm Chris Altieri.
Thanks, of course, to Chris Altieri for that report. Meanwhile, I asked Chris, who works on the news desk here at Vatican Radio, to tell me more about the conflict in Sri Lanka and about how it has escalated in the past years.
The Tamil Rebellion began in 1983 after years of unsuccessful attempts to address the Tamil minority's complaints of systematically unfair treatment. At its height, the Tamil separatists, led by a group called the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, had established a de facto state in the island's north and east with an executive, courts of justice, basic services, and a tax system. The Tigers fought for nearly two decades and entered into a ceasefire agreement brokered by Norway in 2002. That agreement began unraveling in 2005, and in early 2008, the government announced a formal end to the ceasefire and the beginning of an offensive to break the rebellion once and for all. During the final phase of the war, the rebels' northern stronghold continued to shrink, with many civilians fleeing the fighting and many others remaining trapped behind the lines until its final hours.
The government of Sri Lanka, they are rejoicing that they have militarily overcome terrorism by making the Tigers surrender. And this has been a very costly war because a lot of people have died and a lot of people have been displaced.
The Bishop of Jaffna Diocese in northern Sri Lanka, Thomas Savandaranayagam, told us the government needs to ensure the basic necessities of the thousands who fled the war zone and that the cause of national reconciliation and reconstruction is best served by a rapid return of the refugees to their former lives.
And the government must try as much as possible to settle them early, not to have them in the camps as refugees, dependent on the government for their handouts, etc., but take them back to their own places, having cleared all the mines, etc., and all that, and given them the way of living which they had been doing earlier. If they were farmers, to do a farming, if they were fishermen, to do fishing, etc.
Bishop Savindar Nayagam says the church is uniquely placed to play a role in the repairing of Sri Lanka's national discourse.
The church, since it comprises of the Sinhalese and the Tamils, they must work towards a just solution to the problem.
I'm Chris Altieri.
As Chris was explaining, the Tigers had been fighting for a separate state for Tamils in the north and east of Sri Lanka since the 1970s, where more than 70,000 people have been killed and thousands displaced. A Sri Lankan military announcement, meanwhile, on Monday said the leader of the Tamil Tiger rebels, Velupillai Prabhakaran, is dead. This announcement came shortly after the military said it had surrounded Prabhakaran in a tiny patch of jungle in the northeast, where the Sri Lankan army claims to have defeated the rebels and liberated the entire country. The news follows a dramatic upsurge of violence in the past days, during which Sri Lankan government forces had announced they were on the brink of the total defeat of the rebels, who were clinging onto an ever-shrinking pocket of land, described as being no bigger than Central Park in New York. But as well as the remaining fighters, many thousands of civilians occupied this small area of territory, and thousands of people have been killed during the fighting. At the weekend, the United Nations described what was going on as a bloodbath. My colleague Lydia O'Kane spoke to Gordon Weiss, the spokesman for the UN in Sri Lanka, about these distressing reports.
Gordon, the first thing I just wanted to ask you, we've been hearing reports of shelling inside the hospital in the conflict zone, reports of at least 45 people killed. That's with hospital sources. I don't know what you've been hearing. Have you been hearing any more about that?
The same sources are the ones that we rely on for a lot of what we hear going on inside the combat zone. We consider them pretty reliable sources. Certainly in lieu of anything else, if it wasn't for them, we would know nothing about what's going on inside, and we would never have heard about the hundreds who were killed over the weekend.
Yes, I was just going to come to that. What the UN was saying again described a bloodbath, basically 400 people killed and over 1,000 injured. More of the same. And I was reading that many of the casualties from that fighting were taken to that hospital. Would that be right?
That's right. It's not the first time that these makeshift hospitals have been hit. It's happened on a number of occasions. Again, it's an inevitable product of a great deal of fighting taking place in a very small area of land with a lot of civilians around.
If what is happening is true, it just seems to be man's inhumanity to man. The death toll keeps rising. People are suffering injuries, wounds. It seems to be just getting worse and worse.
Yes, I think it's always one has to stretch one's imagination to imagine people dying in such great numbers with such apparent frequency. But it does seem that there have been thousands of people who have been killed and injured in a very short space of time in these past couple of months. The reports that we have been consistent. It's not just from the doctors inside the zone. We often cross-check what we hear with Catholic priests, for example, who are working inside the zone, as well as our own staff who were inside the zone.
Just looking at it from an international level, we're hearing about, you know, diplomats from particular countries like the UK, France, Austria, saying that the UN Security Council should address the crisis. Other countries are saying it's an internal issue, but it does seem to be really now grabbing the attention.
One would hope so. It's taken a long time, and as I say, many thousands of people have been killed and injured up to this point. The problem, of course, with Sri Lanka is that this is a war that's been going on for a very, very long time, more than 25 years now, and the origins of the war are sort of obscured in the mists of time. So it's the type of conflict that doesn't readily impress itself on the news cycle. It sort of comes and goes. But yes, one would hope that with this level of death and injury and suffering that more attention and more concerted attention will come about.
I'm just thinking, Gordon, about the just, you know, the hospital itself. If the hospital, the second time this hospital has been hit, and you can imagine, I'd imagine there aren't very many supplies left in that hospital. And, you know, the situation in a hospital when you need supplies, when you need everything to be working, when a place like that's hit, it must be just have disastrous consequences.
Yes, well, I think the only reason why there is a hospital at all, it's really, at this point, merely a place where people congregate who happen to be injured or dying. I think that medical drugs and bandages and sutures and things like that are virtually non-existent. There are some medical personnel operating from that point. They have been saying for some time that they are really operating in quite a useless way. They're sort of just trying to bandage people up as best they can, patch people up. But one imagines that there is a very high death toll because people can't get proper medical attention. This is part of the overall problem. We haven't been able to get in sufficient quantities of food, and nor have we been able to get in sufficient quantities of drugs and bandages and things like that for quite a long time now. We note this from the condition of people coming out. They have a very high level of malnutrition. Certainly months ago, there were more than a quarter of the under five-year-old children in the camps in northern Sri Lanka were suffering from malnutrition, severe malnutrition. I would imagine, I would hazard a guess, that it is much, much higher inside the combat zone.
And the announcement of the death of the leader of the Tamil Tiger rebels sparked mass celebrations around the country, with people pouring into the streets of Colombo, dancing and singing. However, his death in battle could still turn him into a martyr for other Tamil separatists. Meanwhile, European Union nations have called for an independent war crimes probe into the killing of civilians. The Britain Foreign Secretary, in fact, says there have been very grave allegations of war crimes on both sides of the conflict, and they should be properly investigated. In a statement, the EU's foreign minister also appealed to Sri Lanka's government to urgently let in UN aid groups to help provide much-needed food and medical care to civilians caught in the fighting, and to seek reconciliation with the country's minority Tamil population.